And now, from the Mammoth Oasis, I don't have to say anything about her because she's not here. It's the Sports Widow Show without the Sports Widow, Molly Erdman. And with Cooper Sukale. Did I say it right?
Sukale.
Okay, I was closer than I thought I would be. The Sports Bros today.
The Sports Bros, guys. Where my bros at?
Yes, all the bros out there.
We're talking bro stuff.
There's
man caves. We're talking.
They're throwing out the widow
stuff. Women nagging us about our barbecue grills.
What you would expect from a show called The Sports Bros. Now, I'm going to bet there already is a show called The Sports Bros somewhere.
Every sports show is a sports show.
It is.
Mike and Mike is a finger on the pulse as far as.
Well, the original Sports Bros show was, I think, Mike and the Mad Dog.
So are you Greenberg and I'm Golic? I think that's how it
Yeah, because you played football.
Yeah.
And I'm a nerd.
Should we pull the curtain back? I think, Joe called me desperately this morning. He needed a guest.
It's funny because.
Begged me to come on, and here I am. I'm very busy, but.
All you have to do to be a guest host on the show is have watched the show once, and I think you've done that. And then I said on Wednesday, so just to catch any of our guests up, I'm going to guess most people on my timeline don't know you, which is rare because I'm going to say 90% of people on my Facebook thing are Chicago improvisers.
Mm-hmm. I am not.
You are not. So that makes you a foreigner completely.
Nothing against those people.
No, not at all. And in fact, you're probably intriguing in a way. It's like, how has one of us befriended someone who is not? It's very rare for an improviser to be friends with anyone who's not an improviser.
So briefly, we were coworkers.
That's right. We were coworkers
at
a job.
That's kind of
a story. I've spoken of the that's basically the only reason. Here, there we go. Get in there. The one thing I just noticed with us here is that doing this show with your wife, it's a little easier to kind of get close and stuff. Doing it with a bro makes it's a different kind of closeness. I also notice
better or worse or different kind of closeness.
Not better or worse, just different. I also noticed that I must have a small head because when I sit.
No, I have a giant head.
I know, but so does Molly. And so, as I look here, maybe your head is bigger than hers. Maybe it's the camera where I look so small next to you. And you're not 6'8". You're 6'4".
My head is Billy Crystal.
Yeah. You are kind of a cross between Conan O'Brien and Jay Cutler in every way.
Much less
you are the exact combination.
I'm Jay Cutler, but less athletic, and Conan and less funny. But I look kind of like them.
And you're way more athletic than Conan, and you're way funnier than Jay Cutler. But it still puts you somewhere in between.
I'll take that.
There's a lot of room in between there. If I was less athletic than Jay Cutler, I could still be pretty athletic. And if I'm less funny than Conan, which I will not admit, but if I am, there's still a lot of room to be pretty funny and be less funny than Conan.
The thing with someone like Cutler, we're talking about him a little bit briefly about sports.
Yeah, sure.
He's probably the 30th best quarterback in the world.
Cutler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And get shit on all the time. And he could just totally throttle us.
Oh,
and
I bet he
can, dunk a basketball
easily,
punt a football 50 yards.
Yes, he can do
drunk.
Yes,
I assume he always.
He could
is.
Hit a home run in batting
for
practice.
Easy.
Yeah. Come in, so the camera people can see you.
This is my first podcast of any kind. My podcast debut, and I'm a comedy guy.
That's strange. But you're a writer first and foremost.
Yes,
and
Joe and I were writers.
That's what. Believe it or not.
A little show called Fair Game with Brock Everett.
On the Audience Network, we outlasted Bill Simmons. I felt like.
My hair is a mess, by the way. But
that's the Conan part of you.
Speaking of Bill Simmons and your heroes, Conan,
yes.
Cutler, myself.
Yes.
I saw Bill Simmons at the park.
Oh, that's who it was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You had teased to me that you saw somebody.
Do you tweet at him angrily?
Occasionally.
Or only Skip Bayless?
Mostly Skip Bayless. Occasionally Simmons.
Me, not to rag on Bill Simmons too much.
Sure.
But we do that in the writer's room a lot.
Yes, but it all came from a place where we acknowledged when we were working on the job, it was when his HBO show was happening, which is an unmitigated disaster.
We were on the autistic cousin to Bill Simmons' show. So we were in a way rivals that he didn't even know about.
He was not aware of us. But we are now – our ratings – now Audience Network is not on every television.
No one's heard of it.
But somehow the ratings that we got on the show were comparable to his. And that is no testament necessarily to our success. It's more a testament to the fact that this guy was on HBO, which also isn't on all network, on all TVs. But his numbers were like I remember when he got canceled, a bit of a feeling of accomplishment of like, it may have been that we were under the radar, so no one noticed us, but we still outlasted him.
Yeah. And, Joe was a big on-screen presence on our show. So in a way, I think America voted more for Joe Cannelli than Bill Simmons.
Well, I mean, Bill Simmons is more famous than I am. I will say right now, I'm a better performer than Bill Simmons.
When I saw him at the park, I was walking in the park.
Sure.
In West Hollywood,
as you do.
And he was standing, looking at his phone, and I was wearing my Steelers sweatshirt. I'm not a Steelers fan, but I'm more like a what's available for me.
Right. You also have a Rams sweatshirt.
I think I kind of fit the profile of a guy who would bother Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't want to. If I could talk to him, I would kind of make fun of him, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe he saw that, but I saw him. Mm-hmm. I had no plans to accost him in any way, but he saw me, looked at me for like half a second, and his face was like, I do not want to talk to this guy. And he walked to a corner of this trail, almost like he was facing a bush, inside a bush, and was deep in his phone to avoid having me either say, hey, big fan of Cousin Sal, and you...
Right. Cousin Sal.
I'm the Cousin Sal of this podcast.
No, don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself.
What are the comments saying?
I can't read them.
Probably not.
But Jesse's watching.
Jesse Vincent.
You almost called him Ventura.
Jesse Ventura. Our boss was the former governor of Minnesota.
A lot of similarities.
Jesse Ventura did color commentary for the XFL while he was governor of Minnesota and also refereed SummerSlam.
While governor. Amazing. Well, and do you want to talk about the XFL?
I want to talk about Molly and I.
We want to do that.
Intense rivals.
Okay. Well, all right. So if you've watched the show or listened, listeners, and remember, I'm always doing the show for you. If you are listening or watching the show with any regularity, you know that, usually, Molly is the host of the show, and I do all the work part. But Cooper and her, when I first got the job, or shortly after we got the job, can you recount us?
You were in a rough spot. You were at a hotel. Marriage was very dicey. You were drinking a lot, coming into work.
Man, wrong marriage, but I was thinking about it.
So I was listening to your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Joe has 14 podcasts.
But it was an earlier, before we abandoned it for a few months because of the job mostly, we still had been doing the podcast the first few weeks that we were working.
Right.
So and I was pitching it to you guys to listen. You listened.
I did.
And you tweeted something, I think, right?
No. You at work announced, do you have any questions for me and Molly for the next episode?
Right.
And
you said, when is the divorce?
Yeah, and I wasn't being serious.
No.
But you actually brought that up to Molly.
Well, I don't have like a good filter for what to say or not say about people. So she was initially a little peeved at the suggestion of that. I think she got over it.
Jonathan Morvay is watching.
My gosh. It's amazing what, it's like the whole crowd's getting together.
Yeah, but Molly and I were... I think did she know that was me who said that? We had not met yet.
Right. And I think I didn't reveal if it was you or Quincy. Right.
Said you're getting divorced.
But to be fair, and a lot of people who have met Molly or their first interaction with her is usually a little intimidating on her end. I don't know why that is, because she's usually very nice. And if you look at her face, she has a very friendly, smiling face, and her presence generally is. But a lot of times... people in retrospect will tell me initially they were scared of her or intimidated by her, maybe because she kind of seems like she has her stuff together, which is kind of intimidating. I'm not saying whether she does or not. She does certainly does more than I do.
Married to you, she seems like a very put-together person.
That's the big check. That's the one that keeps, holds her back.
And we have since met, and she's a lovely person.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, you guys have gotten past that stuff.
Met your daughters.
You met both, yes, right?
Very adorable, precocious.
Very precocious,
just
both.
Just like Joe.
I was very precocious.
Yeah, Joe was a good-looking guy. If you're on Facebook right now, look at Joe's photos. I'm being serious here.
Go back.
And go back to, like, 93. And Joe was a good-looking guy.
I was probably...
I'm not saying you're ugly now.
No.
Look, I've faded, too, believe it or not.
Right, right. We all fade after, like, 24.
Better-looking.
Yeah.
But Joe was a good-looking guy.
This is not quite it.
So you got good genes.
Yeah, I do. My dad is pretty young-looking for his age.
What else is going on?
Well, I wanted to mention that, you know, almost every day that we do this this show, I'm tempted to mention something about the world around us, politics in particular, just because there's always seems to be big news.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is generated by our president. And
Joe's a big Trump fan.
Well, I want to credit you, and I know it's credit you don't want, but early on, so again...
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No.
He's our president.
Right.
You're a big fan. I mean, I'm not such a big fan of him.
Right, right. You're against it.
I see your point. We got to get behind our leader.
Right. And we must do what leader says, I think exactly what I said.
Joe,
we must do what leader says.
Joe's very big into borders, language, culture. It's like,
yes.
You got shirts.
It's true. This is all true. But when we first met was like January of last year.
Yes.
And he had not clinched the nomination at that point, had he?
No, he was he won New Hampshire.
Right, right. So right off the bat, you were predicting he was going to win.
Yes.
You were predicting it, and we laughed at you.
I used a sports metaphor. It felt like a team that was down 21 points. They scored two touchdowns in a row, and there's 1 minute left. They had the ball, and they shouldn't actually have a chance to win, but when you're watching that game – You know.
Like
When you watch the Pats Falcons game,
you know the Pat. Well, which we can get to that in a second because we watched
Pats
that together.
Are Trump for a number of reasons, but like you just knew they were going to win.
There was that feeling in that game. That's an interesting comparison you make. I hadn't thought of that because we watched the Super Bowl together.
Is this too depressing a topic for people?
No.
Let's
all
talk
the...
about Trump as a sports fan, maybe.
Well, what I want, I just wanted to say that we laughed at you.
We
made fun of you. We laughed at you. And in the same way that Keith Ellison, the Democrat who is running to be the head of the Democrats, mm-hmm. they showed footage on CNN from June, not of last year, June of like 2015.
Okay.
Of him saying, went right after Trump announced, I think. And I remember seeing this live when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
He said, stranger things have happened. This guy could be the president. All the other white panelists – now, Keith Ellison is African-American.
Mm-hmm.
He's experienced the country in a different way than these other people probably.
Yeah.
They cackled at him. They showed it just today.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were laughing their ass off at him.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump himself, stupidly I think, pointed out – kind of endorsed Ellison because he said, this guy actually picked
right, me.
He endorsed him. So you did as well. And then after Trump won – you sent apology texts to a number of us saying, I did not want this to happen. I did not want this to happen.
Right.
Remember?
Because, yeah.
like, not that we're blaming you for it, but as it became clearer and clearer he was going to win, I think you started getting a guilty conscience, perhaps.
You can bet on elections.
Yeah.
And I had that. I should have bet on
Oh, it. Absolutely.
To lessen the sting.
Mm. Always hedge. Right. That's always like betting against your team that you're rooting for so that even if –
Right.
So if you win, you lost a little money, but you got the win. And if you lose, that's a – hedging is an interesting concept.
But Joe was happy when Trump won.
Oh, so
–
I mean just – I was less happy for him than
– For our country.
Right, for our country.
I remember you were like getting a little emotional.
Oh.
Finally, our country is back.
You know, I've been tweeting specifically. I seem to have targeted Jason Chaffetz. He seems to be my specific. He's actually taken a lot of my Skip Bayless angst.
Who's that?
He's the Utah senator who's in charge of the investigating committees who won't investigate this Russia thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so I'm following him, and I've never gotten as good a response as I do when I respond to one of his things and call him a coward or a worm or something like that. Like. Those are my most popular tweets. And he is a worm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Republican, Democrat. And he did win 75% of his district, though. So
is he watching right now?
I think he's
–
he may actually be one of these – I think he's Joel Murray. actually. He's disguised as Joel Murray. It's actually Jason Chaffetz. He uses Joel Murray's account.
Joel Murray's brother?
It
Joel
is.
Murray?
It is.
He's on Mad Men?
Yes, he was.
Wow. Hey, he was Freddy in Mad Men.
Yeah. He's got a lot of credits on there.
Fantastic actor.
Yeah. I don't know if he's ever tuned in before, but he's tuning in now.
The Joel Murray Appreciation Show.
It is now. Now, Joel, if you're still watching, usually my wife is the co-host, but I've got my friend Cooper here today. So you tune in for Molly again if you want. She's great. But so we've covered Molly getting mad at you, and we've covered your prediction of Trump. Now, you've watched our show a few times,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned this, and ESPN has this. They have
the great Don Olmeyer.
Right. Is there?
Was known for firing Norm Macdonald.
Correct.
He was OJ's buddy. He ran NBC Sports, I think.
And then didn't he run SNL in the interim
That's
years?
That's Dick Ebersol. It's Dick Ebersol.
Dick Ebersol. I get them mixed up sometimes.
Yeah.
But a big.
They're the same guy.
Right. I mean, essentially, they're the same
rich
multimillionaire cut out from the same cloth.
Dick.
But he was the ombudsman. Am I saying that right?
The ombudsman.
Of ESPN for a while, which is kind of the internal critic.
I think it's a term from like a tribal elder who was allowed to kind of speak their mind about,
right.
What, you know, hey, you're messing up. This could be totally bullshit.
Sure, but I like this, though.
But, you know, they were given money as an ombudsman,
mm-hmm.
and your only job is to, like, once a year write a report saying, you know.
Here's what we did right.
Bill and accounting is sucks.
Right. To kind of call out the truth.
No blowback.
Oh,
that's your one job.
That should be my job.
Joe's dream job.
It is.
An ombudsman.
Oh, if you need an ombudsman to just kind of tell it like it is and have no repercussions,
mm-hmm.
I've actually been a volunteer ombudsman anywhere I've been, and it's done me no good.
Yeah,
it's done me no good.
Agreed to.
But you're going to ombuds.
I'm going to be the sports widow ombuds person.
So you're going to ombuds this show.
Yeah.
Do you have any ombudsments at this point?
One kind of general note. I think the show.
Should we have a segment called Ombudsments? Where you send in an ombudsman?
Or like a weed joke.
Right, right.
Buds.
Buds, man.
Well, I would say a general note. First
yeah,
of all,
sure.
Big fan.
Great, thank you.
Begin with that.
That's a good note
Second
to start
all,
with.
I think the show occasionally becomes too much a show about the show.
Oh.
A lot of discussion about, okay.
What are we going to do on this show?
We were going to. And that's kind of interesting, but I think a little structure, which I know isn't Joe's strong suit, but like a producer maybe could come on, I think have some like maybe some pre
sure have a little more organization
strong
because like this is the most organized the show ever is,
right?
That's
How about
it.
A theme every week.
That's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
I like this, and we've asked for listener comments and stuff. I guess I got to get you on the show as a guest host to get the comments for improvement of the show. But I agree with that actually, and I was noticing. Do I talk about other shows too much?
I blame only Joe, not Molly, for this.
It is her show, and it was my gift to her to give her the show.
As she said, it's kind of a white elephant.
Yeah, I force her into the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to deny that entirely, but I'm just going to pivot for a second to one of my favorite shows, Dan Le Batard's show, the podcast.
Okay.
That's a very well-produced show. They actually play clips of people saying how well-produced it is. And it's true. They have an organization to each thing, and most radio shows have to do that. In fact, most
Who
podcasts
is Stu
probably.
Gotz on that show?
Stu Gotz, you mean...
He's like built, and the show is like
with his name's John Wiener
show.
With Stu Gotz, and Stu Gotz must be like a nickname he's had or something because his name is John Wiener.
Okay, Stu Gotz is better than John Wiener.
But what they've done, which is good, and I've said this to Molly about our show, what they've done is Dan is the straight man, and Dan also he's a little different than your typical sports bro. For example,
mm-hmm.
he's more political, or at least more into stories of race and social dynamics. Stu Gotz is an idiot,
okay.
And I say that in the best way possible, an idiot the way
like Carl Pickle. What's his name?
Yes,
Carl
Pilkington. Pilkington, but he's a little bit self-aware. So he plays sports fan. I can't believe, you know, like stupid sports argument. Who's the greatest quarterback of all time?
Uh-huh.
And then the producer, which is Mike Ryan, he kind of he controls stuff where it happens, and he's in Stu's ear, and so Dan's straight man and Stu is idiot. And that Molly and I have struggled a little bit. I'm clearly the idiot between the two of us, Molly and I.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like to play against the idiot, like to find the bigger idiot.
Okay.
You know, like I like to find the idiot and point that person out. Now, in our room.
This guy is dumber than even me, folks. And I'm an idiot.
In our room, I was the idiot. I admit that I was the idiot in our room. But I tried not to be. I was like the alpha idiot. Can you have such a thing?
An alpha idiot. Yeah, I think most alphas are kind of idiots, probably. Okay. I wouldn't say you're something an alpha.
Right, right, okay.
Joe is not dumb. Joe has...
No. I don't think I'm dumb. I don't think idiot and dumb are the same thing.
I'll tell you, to kiss your ass a little bit and also call you an idiot.
Okay.
Joe has, as far as I've observed, the inability to feel embarrassment and shame, which is why you're good at improv.
Right.
You're not afraid to go down any kind of path your mind will take you.
Right.
And your game for whatever that.
Yeah.
And then, but, you know, life is not improv.
No.
As much as.
Oh, I wish it was.
They want you to believe those classes.
That's great. Yeah. It's true.
Life is a multi-cam sitcom, folks.
It is.
Very structured and unorganic.
And there's a lot of producers.
Not funny.
Yeah.
And fake sad at times.
And real sad at other times.
Yeah.
So you watch the show, but you're not married.
I'm not.
So you're a single person watching the show, but the dynamic still works? Or does it confuse you? Is this a marriage prepper for you?
I would say that, not being an expert myself, it sounds like you have a good, an ideal dynamic for the husband-wife banter. I think
there's
a healthy amount of it's not a love fest, though.
No.
There is real affection.
Yeah.
And there's that acknowledgement of flaws than other person. Mostly
sure. I have more flaws.
Sure.
Or I'm at least, like you said, like you hinted at before, I'm not very good at hiding my flaws.
Yeah.
They come right out.
I would say that Molly is kind of my dream woman.
Oh, boy. Is that why you came here?
That's what I'm saying. No, I would say that you have a good dynamic.
Yeah.
Not being an expert myself.
Sure.
It's been very elusive.
And for the show, I think what's good is that I know Molly will say something funny and clever and mean about me if I can just provoke her a little bit. Now, sometimes she doesn't like that, but I think for the show, it's good for the show to do that sometimes.
And also, I would say probably a marriage.
Yes. Yes. It's good to provoke a little bit. No.
A couple just like.
Right. And she's said many times, she's like, I feel like sometimes you want me to be mean to you. And I respond, sometimes I do. And that's not like a sick, twisted
There's
thing
a
or anything.
Ball
There's
gag
just
in
like
your mouth as she says that.
Speaking of ball gags, I'll tell this story because you saw.
Well, ask Jesse. He was right. Was
oh, that's right. He was there too.
Our
and
boss.
Maybe I. He may not be. You know, people tune in and tune out. But I will tell the story of the ball gag.
Actually, the one time I saw Joe really upset my entire time knowing him.
That was for me. That was the one. I mean, every time you have a job, there are moments here or there where you're a little bit like pissy or whatever. And I express that more than most people do probably. But the only one time.
Joe is like agitated a lot, but it's always.
A low level of agitation.
Very solvable.
Yeah,
it's
dismissible.
Kind of venting. He's constantly venting, kind of like a.
Like a tea kettle.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always going.
Similarly annoying at times. But.
His idea was that we had a sketch on our show, Fair Game, with Rock Everett.
And we shot it. It never made it to air, and we'll get into why in a second.
It wasn't my idea. Was it Quincy Miller's idea?
I think it may have been Jesse's idea.
No, it was Quincy Miller, I think.
Okay.
Am I right?
At a certain point, it was the show's idea.
I threw in some S&M and want to do.
The point was that the basic idea was that this NBA season was going to be so boring because the Cavs and the Golden State Warriors are going to be in the finals. So if you're going to watch, if you want to be a masochist and punish yourself, watch the shitty NBA season. It's a basic premise of the thing.
Hold on. This guy, Andrew says, this guy, meaning me, can replace Joe.
Yeah, Andrew Menzel. Yeah, he's the voluntary.
I think he means in every way.
He's the voluntary ombudsman of this show from Australia.
Sorry. So you were saying.
so to execute that idea. I played a businessman in a dungeon with a dominatrix.
Was you being a businessman part of the sketch?
Well, I'm just like a guy, and he goes
normal
to the...
Normal guy.
Yeah, normal guy, but yeah.
Everyman archetype.
Right. And I go and I go there for my masochistic to get off, you know, with her whipping me and stuff.
So Joe couldn't be in the writer's room that day. He had to go to a real...
Real LA place, dungeon like that you can rent out. Yeah.
Where was it at? Like Westchester or something?
No, it was in the city. It wasn't far...
Were you blindfolded and put in the van? And
no,
it
was. I mean, you would have never known walking by the place. It just was like a little kind of warehousey place. But I got there and it's like it's a straight up dungeon.
You get cable in your lap, Joe. Sorry, we're getting live feedback. Thank you, Jamie.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Thank you. He takes care of stuff like that. He knows about that. He's our technician. Only when he tunes in. But the point is that. I had to, you know, strip down basically, and this dominatrix did all these things. Ostensibly, you know, she did it in a way that wouldn't hurt me. But like the first time she whipped me was too hard. And that was, I was like, well, how hard are you going to do? And she's like this. And I was like, no.
This is a fictional reality.
Right. But she's a professional dominatrix.
Yes.
So when she gets paid, it's usually to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all fine.
And
there were some funny scenes.
Did you talk to Molly at all before about this? Like,
no.
By the way.
No. I told her after, though. So I'm
was
in.
Was there a reason why you didn't tell her? Were you
embarrassed? I didn't know how it was going to turn out. And she's still never seen it. I did tell her because I thought it was going to be in that week's show. So I told her beforehand. And then it wasn't. Now, they put me in a variety of scenarios. One of which they wanted to put a ball gag in my mouth. And I'm like, no. And she's like, well, if that one's too big, I have this. And she hands me a leather gag, I guess, that you could have. But it had teeth marks in it. So this is a piece of leather that some other guy who she was beating up on for money had chewed into.
Probably achieved orgasm.
Yes, with that in his mouth. Exactly. Right. And who probably also had a venereal disease.
Is it haunted, then?
I did not put it in my mouth, so we didn't do that. But then we did this thing where I'm on a crucifix, and she's supposed to be shocking me with this, like, shock device. And the first time she does it, it's on, like, four. Now, that's enough. It shouldn't have been on anything. And she whapped one of my testicles,
mm-hmm.
and it made a snapping noise.
Jeez.
And I jumped, and they filmed it, and they had it, which I did say afterwards. If you run the commercial, you do have to run this because it was funny to see me get shocked. But it also hurt me, and so that made me a little mad.
You came back to the writer's room that day, and you were kind of shaken.
Well, if you don't want that to happen, and it does, it's kind of disturbing.
Have you watched that movie with the gray, the shades of gray?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched either one.
It took her a while to get kind of accustomed to...
So you did?
The proclivities. I did.
Did you watch the second one?
No, I want to. Have you really watched it?
Has
Joel Murray watched the sequel?
To more 50 Shades More? I know Molly did. She can maybe talk about it tomorrow. Well, before we...
Was Joel in it?
Ooh, that's interesting.
We'll text him.
We'll find out. Before we go, we usually have a sponsor. We don't have one today. So what are you up to? You're a writer, and you actually... You did not lose the job when the show ended like we did. You left a couple weeks earlier.
I did.
Which meant you didn't get any of the severance.
That's true.
But you left because you're doing some shows. So tell us what you're doing right now.
I'm just writing a few pilot scripts for two studios.
An animated one?
They're both animated.
Both animated. Yeah. Do they have names? Or are you not allowed to say?
It's top secret.
It's top secret stuff.
It sounds fancy, but
you got paid to write some scripts, and you're working on those right now.
Yeah, when you tabulate the hours spent working on it and what I'm getting paid, it's like minimum wage. But it's all paid in one big, large
right.
sum.
So you get it, and then they pay you, and then they make you do all the work, and then
right.
your hourly rate thins out.
After you close a deal.
That's the glorious showbiz.
It's Hollywood, folks.
Well, we can. So can we look for those? Like,
we can look for those maybe. In 2 years?
Nice.
Maybe not at all.
So in 2 years, remember this maybe.
In 2 years, if I'm alive, ask me what I'm doing, and I'll say...
Great.
The shows are gone.
If these shows don't make it, you may not be alive.
Oh, yeah. I will commit suicide.
No, right. Although if the shows go big, there's just as big a risk.
I will.
It's suicide or OD. Either way, Chateau Marmont.
Absolutely.
Will be where your body is found.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being last minute host. This is Cooper again joining me as my guest widow. And you can tune in to – you can get the podcast on iTunes.
A pilot for our new show, Sports Bros.
Sports Bros. Yeah, let us know how that is.
On the Canale Network. So
if more people watch this than watch the other ones, Molly's going to be mad at both of us. But that might be good for the show. So we'll catch you later, and thanks for tuning in.